Welcome to Fritz and Friends. This is Cheryl Fritz coming to you on 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Pleased to have on the phone with me now Jocelyn Benson, who is founder and executive director of the Michigan Center for Election Law. Good evening, Jocelyn. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Cheryl?
I'm doing well. We had just a moment as we were getting on the phone here, and you said, and I think I can quote you, this is redistricting day in Lansing.
That's correct. Today was redistricting day.
No, and you were in town, I'm sorry, for a couple of hearings today. And of course, you had been forwarding the Michigan Citizens Redistricting Competition, and we've talked about that a couple of times on the show. Tell me about the hearings today and some of what went on.
Well, there was a hearing in the State House on the State House and State Senate maps, and there was a hearing in the State Senate Committee on the Congressional District maps, and both were, as could be expected, filled with a lot of tense debate about all three of those maps for the State House, State Senate, and Congressional Districts. Congressman Sandy Levin even showed up to the State Senate hearing to implore the committee to draw a more compact and clean and fair congressional district map. And in the House, we had even state representatives themselves coming to testify in opposition to some of the districts.
Well, and when I've heard these terms over and over again that you just used, that Levin had used, compact, clean, and fair. So there's still a concern that that is not occurring.
Well, if you look at the congressional district map, which has been posted in the Free Press and is actually posted on our website as well, MichiganRedistricting.org, it clearly is a mangled map of districts, particularly in southeast Michigan. The 11th congressional district looks like it has a tail that winds around, and you know, the 9th congressional district looks like a genie's lamp. So it's comical to look at, but when for the residents living in those districts, we have Pontiac grouped with the Grosse Pointe and South Detroit, and then we have Farmington, the city of Farmington and Farmington Hills in two different congressional districts. So the map itself is quite mangled, and one can only imagine why and for what reasons. But there are some federal and state legal guidelines as to what can and cannot be done for the maps, but those guidelines also do give the legislators a lot of discretion.
Well, and that question has come up a lot in the last couple of days when I've talked to folks as well, Jocelyn, about the legality of these maps and the constitutionality of these maps. Is that seriously a question?
I think each map raises its own questions about the potential legality. For the congressional maps, the Supreme Court of the United States has said, Justice O'Connor has actually struck down, in previous decades, has struck down congressional district maps based on their funny-looking appearance and calling that gerrymandering that was illegal under the Constitution. So that, I think, that line of case law may apply here to call into question the legality of the congressional maps. In the state house districts, Southwest Detroit, in the most recent map I saw, was actually cut up into two different districts, and that eliminates the ability for the Latino community that is concentrated there to have influence over a representative because they're split and spread now into multiple districts. So there's a lot of, and the Voting Rights Act actually is in place to prevent that type of vote dilution. So there's a lot of legal questions about these maps. And unfortunately, the state legislature did not give us adequate time as members of the public to really question and examine these maps. The hearings were today, and it appears as though at least that the House and Senate maps have already been voted on by the full state House. So that's disappointing, hopefully we can work together for the next coming years to change the process.
Well, and you were trying to make some big changes in that process with your Michigan Citizens Redistricting Competition.
Yes, we sponsored the first ever competition in Michigan to provide citizens and residents the opportunity to draw their own maps based on the presumption that at the very least, the citizens should have some input in what their districts look like and be able to demonstrate to their legislators what they'd like to see the maps appear like. So we had many people enter, over 200 congressional district maps submitted, and we submitted the winning map. It was actually drawn by a college student in Central Michigan University. We actually had a 10-year-old also draw one of the winning maps, one of the top-scoring maps. So they also demonstrated that, you know, it's not rocket science to draw a fair and compact map that keeps communities together and keeps politics out of the process.
And does it appear to you that this winning map or any of the maps from this competition were given serious consideration?
We know they were given serious consideration, but, you know, I'm not quite sure it was with an eye towards possibly implementing some of the ideas. The subsequent testimony that we heard today in the hearings about our competition maps were quite defensive, and they were sort of in defense of the legislators, the politicians' maps, and why they were better than the people's maps, which was, you know, an interesting argument to hear, but quite the opposite of what we hoped, which was that we hoped the politicians would be informed by the people's maps, and instead it was almost as if they were offended by them. But that said, I'm very proud of what many individuals submitted on our website, which is michiganredistricting.org, but also of the amount of interest we've seen in the redistricting process. And I hope in the future we can see a independent citizens commission in Michigan, like other states have, to actually draw and enact our district maps.
While we were speaking, at about 4 o'clock this afternoon, I've got a news alert from MERS newsletter that said the Michigan House had passed Senate Bill 0498 to provide for new House and Senate district maps. And the message also said the vote had come after hours of negotiation between House Republicans and House Democrats and the Legislative Black Caucus over nature of House lines and minority representation. You were at the Capitol today. Did you see a lot of serious negotiation going on?
Well, as of this morning, there were a lot of arguments, but I don't know if I'd call them negotiations. But, you know, part of the problem is a lot of these decisions are made behind closed doors. And so we may never know the negotiations and the deals that were made and what actually transpired to deliver these maps. But we know that the process happened very quickly behind closed doors. And at the very least, a few hours ago, the Legislative Black Caucus was actually testifying in terms of the extent of the lack of involvement they've had in the process. So unfortunately, with the current system, what's passed into law by the majority becomes the law if the governor should choose to sign the legislation that creates these maps. So we'll see what Governor Schneider does next.
And I guess it's my responsibility, Jocelyn, to ask, if the Democrats were in charge, now in control in the House and Senate, would this process in recent weeks and today have looked significantly different, do you think?
Well, no, if we look to states like Illinois, it hasn't been significantly different. Democrats in those states have done the same types of things, negotiations behind closed doors, partisan gerrymandering. So I believe the only way to really remove the partisanship and the politics from redistricting is to create these independent citizens commissions that are nonpartisan, are comprised by citizens throughout the state. And California and Arizona provide us with great examples for how to make these truly independent and remove partisanship from the process as much as one can. So we have to move in that direction if we're going to see any change in this process.
So now we have to wait another 10 years to look at that again?
Well, technically, yes, but not necessarily. Citizens could pass a ballot initiative next year to create a Citizens Redistricting Commission. And the United States Supreme Court has said that there's nothing blocking a state from revisiting its redistricting maps sooner than the end of the decade. So it is entirely legal for, if citizens wanted to do this, create a Citizens Redistricting Commission and in the creation of that mandate the creation of new districts before the end of the decade. So that is possible. Of course, it would take a lot of organizational effort and a lot of focus by citizens, but that's one possible solution. Barring that type of change, however, these are the districts we would have for the next 10 years.
Well, Jocelyn, as always, I so appreciate your time and being generous with your expertise as well in sorting through all this. It gets a little confusing at times, kind of like some of the drawings do.
Yes, but I appreciate you having me on, Cheryl, and look forward to watching this process unfold in the next couple of days.
Well, we will. I may be calling you again soon. Again, your website, michiganredistricting.org, I'm correct there?
Yes. People can go and see what citizens produced is their maps that they'd like to see, and also get lots of more information about the redistricting process, the law, and all these sorts of things that have been going around the country as different states draw their lines.
Very good. Thank you so much, Jocelyn, for your help this evening.
My pleasure. Thanks, Cheryl.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Jocelyn Benson, who is founder and executive director of the Michigan Center for Election Law. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends on 1320 WILS right after this.